A new legal study is challenging a decades-old assumption about Australia's highest court, arguing the High Court may, in fact, have the power to hear cases on Indigenous sovereignty. Published last week in the University of New South Wales Law Journal, the research suggests a key 1970s case was misinterpreted as precedent, potentially opening the door for a landmark test case if the court were to hear cases on the question of sovereignty. Currently, Australia is the only Commonwealth country that has not signed a national treaty with its Indigenous peoples. To hear more about her research and the legal findings, I spoke to Melbourne Law School Associate Professor Olivia Barr.
And what my research has identified is a legal error that means the High Court can actually get involved in these cases, which creates the possibility for major legal change in the future.
Talking about that legal error, why has the reference is the Commonwealth case isn't valid precedent. Why has that been misunderstood for so long, do you think?
And it's a good question. So why don't I just take a step back and explain what happened in this case in the 70s?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I'll answer kind of why this error has not been noticed. So what happened in the 1970s is that there was a case called Coe and the Commonwealth, and that's seen as the leading case on questions of Indigenous sovereignty. Now, the case of Coe has been understood by the legal community for about 50 years as really creating a very well-known rule that says the High Court doesn't have the power to hear cases or questions about Indigenous sovereignty. And there's this other legal rule, which is sort of a baseline rule within the Australian legal system called precedent. And what that means is that all future cases need to comply with this rule. So there's been a really long-held legal assumption that the High Court doesn't have the power or its doors closed to these questions. Now, what my research has found and my argument is that this is actually wrong. This is actually a misunderstanding based on the kind of misunderstanding the significance of an earlier legal case. So my research really centres around this sort of very easily overlooked but also long forgotten 100-year-old rule, which really clearly and really explicitly says High Court deadlocks do not create precedent. And so to prevent deadlocks, the High Court of Australia normally has 7 judges. And that just means all 7 judges might agree on something, or it might be 4 and 3, but either way, there's sort of a clear majority outcome. But what was unusual in the 1970s case of Coe and the Commonwealth is that the High Court had only 4 judges at the time, only four judges hearing this case. And what happened was that they disagreed. So the question they were faced with was whether or not the case of Coe and the Commonwealth should go through to a trial where there would be witnesses and documents led and all that sort of stuff that could explore the idea of Indigenous sovereignty. So it was a really early procedural stage. And 2 judges said, yes, the matter could go to trial. And 2 judges said, no, the matter should stop and there shouldn't be a trial. And that creates a deadlock. If you go back to this really clear 100-year-old rule that said deadlocks do not create precedent, then as a deadlocked decision, this 1970s case of Coe didn't create any precedent. So that's where my research shows that there's now a clean slate and that questions of sovereignty can be asked and the High Court can get involved in cases about sovereignty, which allows a really important legal question to be addressed by legal experts in the High Court rather than just remaining exclusively in the political arena.
If the High Court does agree to hear a sovereignty case, what would that process actually look like now?
So I'm a non-Indigenous lawyer working at Melbourne Law School, and my expertise is in the Australian legal system. So because I've identified this legal error, it means that the High Court can get involved. And the next step is really a decision, a conversation, and then a decision by Indigenous communities who need to think carefully about whether or not a test case is a good idea. So if there was a test case, then the High Court has 3 options. It could either kind of maintain the status quo and say in a different way that the High Court's door is closed and this is an issue that should remain in the political arena only, so the High Court's not going to get involved. That's one option. The other option is the High Court could allow a case and hear, so have witnesses and evidence led and so on, and have a trial on the question of Indigenous sovereignty. And then they could come to one of two conclusions. They could either recognise Indigenous sovereignty, which would be major legal change that could lead to things like treaties, a federal treaty, reparations, self-government arrangements, and so on. But the High Court could also reject sovereignty, which would be really devastating. So there's a high risk scenario around a test case, which is why it's really a question of whether or not a test case is a good idea, given that the three options that the High Court might choose.
Associate Professor Olivia Barr from Melbourne Law School there, ending that story.